We invite these influential creators with really high engagement. They've built their platform. They know what authentically connects with their fans, and they've built that up in their own right. And then we insert them into these highly engaging situations, whether it's with talent, these viewpoints, whatever it might be. And it just makes really compelling, exciting content that fans want to watch. And then we layer brands on top of that, right?
So when
we can, when it makes sense, when the audiences line up, no one else can offer that. So it is a really exciting offering
for everybody
in this space.
Involved.
Explore the minds and marketing strategies behind today's winning brands and businesses. Tap into the power of the creator economy with Earned by Creator IQ. Here's Connor Begley.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Earned. I've got Samantha Sichel on the show today. Welcome to the show, Samantha.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Nice to see you. And I'm so excited to have you on. Live Nation is a fantastic brand to investigate generally. I just think it's such an interesting space. Mm-hmm. And you being the head of social product and digital innovation, I think is right at the center of that transformation that I think the offline world or this kind of physical events world has moved into, which is just such a cool place to be.
Yeah, I enjoy the role very much, and I know we'll get into exactly what it entails, but it's certainly a very exciting and interesting place to sit in the live entertainment industry.
Well, why don't you start there? What is the role? So what are the things that you're focused on for the people that aren't going to be in this space day to day? What are you focused on?
Yeah, so we'll get into what brought me here, but currently I am responsible for creating social products that help our brand partners reach their target demographic and generate revenue for the company, and also help our tours and events reach their target demographic, right, to sell tickets to those events.
Totally.
And what makes this even more exciting, and that alone is interesting, but we have a live event somewhere in the world every 20 minutes, so there's just a lot to work with, a lot of different demographics, so people bringing their young kids to their very first event in a theater, to massive arena shows and everything in between. So there's a lot of audiences and fun, exciting elements to play with there.
Yeah, totally. I went to my first concert post-pandemic like a few weeks ago, and it was a Live Nation concert. And it was, it was great. It was Luke Bryan. It was great. Awesome show. Live Nation branding is quite visible, which is really cool to see. But let's actually talk about Live Nation and kind of where you came from, right?
Yeah.
So you started Live Nation back in 2008. And I think I hadn't realized this, but I just looked at the stock price for Live Nation over the last 15 years. I hope you got some stock because it's up 30x over the last.
It's been quite a ride.
That is crazy. Like, it's absolutely bananas. One, what do you think's driving that? Because you've now had enough of an arc to actually see this kind of happen. And then two, what is it like to be a part of a company that's grown that fast? Because that's just so uncommon for a public company to grow that much over such a long period of time.
Right. Yeah, I do feel very lucky that I've just always been passionate about music and live entertainment. Ask anyone in my life since I was a young girl. I performed on stages. I've played. I love experiencing music, and the fact that that passion led me to this successful business is just really mind-blowing to me. But when I started at Live Nation, it was very early 2008, end of 2007, we hadn't yet merged with Ticketmaster, right? So we were really focused on events, many, many types of live events. Festivals hadn't really rotated into the type of event that the company was producing or promoting. So we were mostly focused on amphitheater shows. There were some venues that were owned. We had just started contemplating what we call these 360 deals, where we're involved in the label side, the management side. It was before everything, right?
Yeah,
it was just
right
in the nascency of all of these different business drivers of the flywheel that make Live Nation. So we merged with Ticketmaster, and then we became this massive ticketing entity, and that plus really investing heavily into festivals, which now are a huge part of the attendance driving, and then owning many more venues and the concessions associated with that, right? There's just so many different levers that have driven that growth. And for me, the most exciting area is the digital side of things. And that's why that's where I sit.
Yeah, digital wasn't a thing 15 years ago. I mean, it wasn't to the degree it is today.
Right. I remember in my previous job, I was at Fuse TV. And I remember being in meetings where we were deciding the price of what text to screen should be, because that didn't even exist yet. And we were still in that, what do you call it, dot TV? Will people know what that means? That's right around when I switched to Live Nation. There were no ad units on LiveNation.com. I was part of the very first program that sold into this completely non-dynamic box on a website. So just to think about, everything has driven that growth from every aspect of the music industry, the digital industry. We didn't even know what digital sales looked like when I first started. So there's just a lot that goes into the answer.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that it's really impressive to see, like you said, none of this was there at that time, right? I think a lot of the times you drop the playbook like, oh, this is what we're going to do, right? We're going to become vertically integrated. We're getting all these different things, but it rarely actually gets done. Do you think that that's something, were you guys right place, right time? Or was it something where you think leadership did a particularly good job? What do you think were the elements of that?
Definitely leadership. Our CEO, Michael Rapino, is a true visionary when it comes to finding successful entities, superstars, and allowing them to remain autonomous while helping invest in them and build them up, right? Yep. So it's not like we see a successful entity and then say, okay, you're now part of the machine and you have to do what we do. That's absolutely not at all how it works.
Yeah.
Things are successful and we see that they're successful. And then we don't change what makes them successful. And we say you can participate in the, for example, when I first started focusing on social, we had, I think it was something like 750 different social handles. And that in 2014, 2015, and even more now, right? And that was across all different platforms. And
that just sounds like such a mess.
Oh, imagine that was part of my early job was, okay, wait, hold on, we can monetize this better. You know, don't just do it for us. So now when we acquire an entity, a festival, whatever it is, we say, do you want to participate in connecting our audiences to your platform? And then we can sell it, right, as almost this like unified approach. You don't have to, but here's the benefits and here's why.
Yeah.
And we would only connect like audiences with like audiences. And most of the time they say yes. And we make, you know, 1 + 1 = 1,000,000.
Yeah.
not dollars. But we allow these owners and decision makers to make the decision still.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a big part of the success.
That's cool that you guys let them have that independence.
Mm-hmm.
We were acquired by Creator IQ, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that this is the first time that I've ever been acquired, obviously. And so learned a lot as part of that process. And I think maintaining that DNA is like super tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to do,
mm-hmm.
particularly if it's like entrepreneurial or independently owned. One of the most fascinating things about your career outside of the progression and the scope in which you are kind of operating is, you know, you've been there for a long time, right? You've been at Live Nation for 15 years, 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you build such a deep expertise during that time, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you were to think about my knowledge of the influencer and the creator space when we started the company 12 years ago, it was fairly limited. And even 4 years in, it's still fairly limited.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious, how do you think about that in terms of that depth of experience and expertise that you've built in this space, rather than you could have, I'm sure that you have plenty of opportunities to go to other jobs, to go to other companies. And this is really for the people that are like looking to emulate your career, right? Like what would be your advice to them?
Yeah. So something that I do believe is unique that Live Nation has enabled me to do is create almost this entrepreneurial think tank within the company. So it started, like I said, when we put ad units on livenation.com and that didn't exist, right? So there was success there. Okay, Sam worked somewhere that was digitally centric before and now she, okay, what else? So then I was like, social media, we have all these handles. Let's unify them and connect them. And it was before we could even associate our first party audiences, but at least we could connect them and put the same creative from the handles and track. So then that started. And then we started seeing a significant increase in our marketing capabilities and sales capabilities. So they're like, all right, Sam, what's next? Okay, social. How can we build on social? So it just is luck with ingenuity and then the ability to kind of stay on the same path, but being allowed to build new products, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Is that something that everybody gets to do, or do you think that was unique to your circumstance? Is that something they facilitate generally? Is this kind of movement across departments, teams, et cetera?
Yeah, I think if you show and build a case, absolutely the investment will follow. First, you have to do your job, right? At baseline, you have to do your job, of course. Right? Do your job, do it well.
You don't get more responsibility doing a bad job. Yeah.
But of course, prove that you've earned the position to have these grandiose ideas. Build the case, right? I joke, our COO, Chris Lal, kind of, and my husband also have a similar thing that they say about me, where if I give a number, divide it by 2, subtract 3, and that's the reality. So I have to build multiple cases because I'm, I guess you could call me an optimist.
Oh,
you
can
call me an optimist. So I always build multiple models, right? Okay, the high, the medium, the low, and the very low.
We know
it'll probably, knowing my optimism, we throw out the high usually. But there's this arc of what we think is possible. We build this business case again and again. Can you prove that it will have whatever X the investment is. Yeah. And if three of the four models show that it's likely and you have the time or someone on the team has the time, then sure, why not invest in it?
It reminds me of, have you ever heard of the OKR models?
We go by OKRs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for those that aren't familiar, the idea is you reach really high, but you hit 60 to 70% of your target, and it really pushes you to uncork the creative juices is the word I've heard. How can you stretch, basically, if this was the target?
Exactly. It's funny because I guess I was raised on that model. You know, growing up, we would go on long car rides as a family, and my dad would say, all right, this is the amount of time it would take, and he would always come in under, and it turns out he was doing this OKR model, and that's how I was raised without even realizing it. Oh, we beat the goal. We always beat the goal. That's because you were lying.
Oh, my God. So again, going back to this idea of you've seen this digital evolution over time, and I think one of the spaces that we obviously spend a lot of time in is this idea of individuals as kind of media entities, right? Individuals as creators, whether that's somebody that has a really large audience, like an artist, or that's an individual that just attends a concert and takes a photo and posts it on TikTok. So I'm curious, one, how have you seen that evolution evolve within Live Nation? And then number two, how do you guys leverage that? What are some of the ways that you've found interact with fans and creators that you think are unique and interesting?
Yeah, so very early on, we started realizing that live entertainment attracts a very influential audience. I believe our audiences are something like 84 or 85% more influential than the general population. More likely to influence other people through their posts or even just conversationally. They're more active, right? It kind of makes sense in how to spend your money. Influential in many ways. So it's a very exciting audience to play with. So then we started early on using social listening, right? Okay, so we know this is an influential audience. Who are these people? And this is the first iteration of us really working with influencers. It was nearly a decade ago now. So we actually trademarked this term and this product called the Fanfluencer tool, turning these fans into influencers in real time. And we would use social listening, geofence a location, and say, okay, yes, everyone's influential. This person has 10,000 followers. We had no idea they were going to be on site. Yep. And then we would direct message them, tweet at them publicly or whatever it might be, comment on a picture they posted from a venue, and invite them in that moment to market for us without calling, right? We would say, meet us at this activation area. We have a free camera for you. Meet us backstage, right? They market the next show date. They market a brand associated with the show. So there is a lot of power in our audience, and figuring out exactly what to do with that influence is a really fun and exciting part of what I do.
That is so cool. I think that's so interesting. I had no idea that you guys were doing that, but it's logical. I mean, you kind of want to stuff the ballot box as well, right? Like you want to also invite those people to events. I would imagine that's a fairly big part of the strategy too, right? Like how do we encourage these people to come in the first place, right?
Yeah, well, we really just want fans at our events, right? Gotcha. Like fan, if you love this artist, that's what's most important. You have a reason to be there. That's making this fan experience as great as possible. That's always our priority.
Yeah.
And then if they happen to be influential, absolutely. And then as we have grown the Live Nation Influencer Network, yes, we do invite influential individuals who are true proven fans of the artists to these events, and it helps us market future dates. We have a really exciting thing going on this weekend. The Jonas Brothers have announced this international tour. The first tour date kicks off at Yankee Stadium on Saturday. We found I believe this number is not exactly right, it's something like 30 countries from around the world.
Yeah.
And a Jonas Brothers lover on my team, she had this fun task, she's a huge Jonas Brothers fan, of reaching out to pretty much the top Jonas Brothers fan in each of those countries and saying, we will fly you to the very first international tour date at Yankee Stadium in 2 weeks. You'll meet the band. These are the types of experience we get to do. We know you love the band. You posted about them in the past. You use their music in your social media. Meet them. We're going to provide you this platform and link to the future shows. It's really so fun.
One, it's so logical. But two, I don't think everybody does it. It's like, you know, we look at, say, the sports teams as an example, right? And you see some of the teams leaning into this. The Astros are starting to invite in, you know, Mark Wahlberg, these different people that, one, are a fan of the brand itself.
Exactly.
First. And then two, like, how do I make it a special experience for them, right? But most aren't. Like, it's surprising how far behind some of these media entities are in integrating this kind of stuff.
Exactly. We're in a very beneficial and lucky situation, right? Because we have so many things that are so exciting for these
that
influential people.
People want to talk about, right? You don't have to force it. It's like,
exactly.
I want to talk about going to the Jonas Brothers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to meet the band or have this amazing money can't buy access. So that's really what makes this work, right? We invite these influential creators with really high engagement. They've built their platform. They know what authentically connects with their fans, and they've built that up in their own right. And then we insert them into these highly engaging situations, whether it's with talent, these viewpoints, whatever it might be. And it just makes really compelling, exciting content that fans want to watch. And then we layer brands on top of that, right?
When we
can, when it makes sense, when the audiences line up, no one else can offer that. So it is a really exciting offering
for everybody
in this space.
Involved. Mm-hmm. Is that, do you find that the performing talent is fairly open to being involved in that process or not so much?
Yeah, the talent side is understanding the value mm-hmm. of being amenable to participating.
And that's really make them money, right? It's going to sell tickets. It's mm-hmm. going to do all these things outside of just the brand deals.
Exactly. It's a complete shift in marketing. And of course, they still are doing radio promotions, meet and greets, print ads, all of that. But now, okay, or at least I'm trying to make another requirement necessary step in the promotional vehicle be influencer interactions.
Yeah, totally.
It makes a ton of sense. It has amazing engagement, like I mentioned, and the talent is getting more and more used to it.
Prior to releasing a new movie, right? They invite all the press in. They meet the actors. They do the whole thing. The dog and pony show,
day.
Right? The junket. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And so they do the junket day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems obvious that these creators and influencers are the new publishers in a lot of ways. So you should be doing these junket style activities to build relationships with them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So just a few weeks ago, Tim McGraw, right? That's a genre that we hadn't typically seen interaction from in the past, invited 20, 30 influential creators to this really intimate show. I think it was at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles, right? And it was this unbelievable experience. They got to have this intimate performance. And again, for that one, we didn't have any hashtag requirements, but nearly every single one of them posted to link out to the tour, right?
Of course.
How could you not?
They want to naturally. They want to support.
Exactly. They want to show the appreciation. So we're seeing everyone get excited about it on all sides.
Yeah. So one of the other things that I think is an interesting activation type that you guys played around with is this creator house concept, mm-hmm. right? So you did Last to Leave.
Mm-hmm.
How would you rate the success of that? Would you recommend it to other people? Like, how did that work? And maybe just what were your learnings from it?
Yeah. So I think this ties back to the unique offering Live Nation has in the space. So sure, I know there have been instances where creator houses have not been successful, but we can place these creators in these unbelievable money can't buy live event experiences, not just once, but once a week, right?
Totally.
So it's like you have the best night of your life every single week. Of course they're going to want to do this, right? So that's the secret sauce. And then really smart brands are coming along for the ride. Coca-Cola, for example, as I drink mine right here, they're integrated into the house. Every creator really enjoys drinking the product, so it's natural.
Yes.
And you see them drinking Coca-Cola, reliving what happened the night before. It's really authentic in a really special way. So has it been successful for us? Yes, because the creators truly love live entertainment. We've done a lot of research to make sure that these are the right people who would truly value an experience like this. So we provide room and board, this access, festival trips, right? So just this past weekend, everyone in the Last Sleep House, most of the creators went to Lollapalooza, right?
Yeah.
And they got Coinbase. So they collected NFTs and got access to the side stage viewing platform and highlighted the fact that that's available to fans, right?
Yeah.
And they were this amplification tool really for the brand. But they just were having fun and seeing Sabrina Carpenter side stage, right?
Yeah.
It's just putting them in natural situations and having them share their moments. That's why their fans connect with them. They're authentic in their content. They're highlighting it. Lauren Gibson in the house, she's a really fantastic dancer. And so she's dancing with her product and it makes sense.
Yeah.
They're just doing what they naturally do and it works really well for us.
Well, I think that's where it actually has an impact on consumer behavior as well, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you see people, it's like, oh, I'm in the gym, I'm working out, I'm drinking this while I'm working out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting, maybe I should try that too,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think having that natural integration, I think is critical to actual impact for the brands as well.
Another fun one, this is bringing multiple types of influential creators in the space. So Hip Hop 50 is a music festival at Yankee Stadium just this week. It's on Friday, August 11th. Yankees fans are hip hop fans. Many of them use hip hop music from performers of the festival, right, as their walk-up music. The Last Leaf Creator House creators love hip-hop music. So we worked with the New York marketing team, Jenna Roper, Don Eichmann, and we brought the Last Leaf House on the field of Yankee Stadium to interact with the Yankee players and co-collaborate on content to promote this hip-hop festival, right?
Yeah, so now you get
the Yankees, you get sports fans, you get the Gen Z followers, and everyone connects to really benefit this festival. So
yeah.
There's so many examples.
You know, it's really funny. We had one of our events in New York, and one of the bartenders comes up to me. He's like, hey, we need to talk. Like, I'm an artist, and I've realized how big the impact TikTok is on, like, music. If you become popular on TikTok, it can elevate your career dramatically. Mm-hmm. Have you guys played around with that at all in terms of thinking about how your artists interact with TikTok and having their music get utilized by other people? Is that something that's happened or no?
Well, the licensing of the music
is really
the label, right? So in some instances where we have those 360 deals, we have a say in that. An interesting area for us, and this is not where I'm directly affiliated, is we find the stars of the platform, right? They're releasing music. Someone, Lauren Gray, she is associated with Last to Leave. She's amassed tens of millions of followers on Instagram and TikTok. And now she's touring with Live Nation, but she grew first on social platforms.
And
then started touring what made her successful on the platforms. So that's a model I think we're going to be seeing more and more.
Yeah, 100%. So I want to take a step back a few years just because I do think it's such an interesting period of time, particularly for your company, which was the pandemic, right? So obviously, live events, not so much of a thing during the pandemic. You've come out very strong out of that, right?
Strongest, which I think Q2 ever.
Just crazy. And so one, what was that period like? Would just love to hear what you learned from that period. And then I think third, how have you guys kind of accelerated out of that? What has led to the rapid growth now?
Right. That was a very interesting time, not only due to what was happening through COVID, but also I was pregnant with twins and delivered twins during 2020.
God.
So
we had our daughter March 2020. Not twins, but
It was certainly a very interesting time for me for many, many reasons. From a professional standpoint, the company really was very smart about pivoting to live streaming, right? Like, the desire to experience live music didn't go away. And I think we all know that, right? Everyone still wanted and craved that interaction. It just wasn't safe. We also had a lot of content from past shows that we could help people relive. And a large part of the crew and the staff associated with live events were out of work. So we kind of took all of that and did many, many things. We started a nonprofit organization to help raise funds for the staff that wasn't working because we wanted to make sure that they could sustain their life. And from a product standpoint, we really focused on live streaming, connecting the talent to fans through maybe very intimate interactions through video or seeing this content that hadn't been seen before through previously recorded live streams or live streams in real time where there were no fans, but you could still see it from wherever you were.
How did the internal culture handle that? Because I have to imagine the initial reaction is panic, right? But how did it rebound from that?
Yeah, again, it's just everyone who works at the company or most of the employees, right? We're all true lovers of live entertainment, right? Yeah. So it was almost, I think that's what kept everyone going, the hope and the belief that it will come back. So we knew it would, and everyone switched roles, whatever it did, rolled their sleeves up, whatever they had to do to make sure that we had something for people to come back to when it was possible. And the love of what we do helped us find the drive to pivot in those moments and to focus on the nonprofit, to focus on Crew Nation, to focus on these live streams. And also planning. Okay, so when we come back, we have to believe the demand will be really high. What are we going to do then? Are we going to squish a year's worth of concerts into 6 months if it comes back halfway through the year? Yes. The answer actually is yes. So when that happens, we need to be ready. So it was planning and pivoting and believing.
Yeah, between the events industry, the travel industry, the last, I feel like, 18 months has been like pretty wild, to say the least. Well, let's wrap up. I usually do like a fun end of show question. We'll do this one's like a little bit more personal. Okay. So, you know, I'm a father of three. You're a mother of three. I kind of forgot that it was twins, which is I don't know how you do that. I don't think you forget that. Yeah. I have a lot of respect seeing working moms. I know how difficult that balance is, particularly with twins or with three overall. What advice would you have to other people that are either considering that or that are working moms and that you found to be helpful?
I think, like I just referenced in the previous question, right? I truly am passionate both about live music, live entertainment. I think it's a really important aspect of life, this outlet that it allows everyone to have to express or feel or whatever it is, an emote in whatever way it helps you. So just having a small part in enabling that just is something I'm very proud of. So that passion is really important. And then help.
Yeah, totally.
Not being afraid to ask for help, right? So my older son, Jasper, he's just under 2 years older than his younger siblings, Ruthie and Ethan. And
so you did two under two with twins.
Yeah, I had three under two. during the thick of COVID, right? My husband almost missed the birth of the twins because he was getting suited up, masked up. He was allowed in the room, but just barely was allowed in the room a few weeks prior, and he would not have been allowed in the room with me in New York. So it's not easy. It is not, right? And it's being able to focus on what you're doing in the moment.
Yeah.
I like to set boundaries. So in the field that I'm in, and I know a lot of other fields, especially when you're in it for so long, you foster true friendships, right? Your employees, with your colleagues, your peers, and your vendors and partners. So it's knowing how to hold your boundaries. So you might be friends. Someone says, please, I want to go to the show with you. I want to take you to dinner. I want to go to dinner with you. I have to be with my kids at this moment, right? You schedule the doctor's appointments.
Saying no is hard,
right? It's hard. Exactly. It's hard, especially when you love what you do. But I think setting the boundaries is the most vital thing for me and sticking to them. And it hasn't always been easy, especially when the invitations are for really exciting things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're getting...
But holding those boundaries and knowing that the years with your children are fleeting. They'll grow and I can still be doing this, but they won't have these very formative memories that they're building. There's only so little time for that. So keeping that in mind definitely helps with that. You can't do it unless you have people helping you. My husband's mother is amazing. She comes every Friday. Our au pair is amazing, right? You just, you find what works and you find the system that works.
Yeah. I cannot imagine three under two. We did 17 months apart with our first two. Mm-hmm. And then we had our third about 2.5 years after. So it was like three under four. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really appreciate you taking out the time, Sam. And congrats on all the success, both with Live Nation and yourself personally. Awesome. Excited to see what you guys continue to do. You guys are doing all the right things, which I love.
We're trying.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Sam. Bye, guys.
Be a friend, tell a friend, and subscribe. Earned by Creator IQ. Creator IQ is your all-in-one solution to grow, manage, scale, and measure your influencer marketing program. Ready to unlock the power of the creator economy? Get started with a demo today at creatoriq.com.